Well, as those words hopefully continue to be meditated upon by you that you just sang and professed to the Lord, I pray that they would continue to bear fruit as we seek God in His Word this morning, this truth that it's God who holds us fast. If you're not already there, please return to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Be looking one more time at verses 1 to 3. For there the word of the Lord is this to us this morning. The word of our God, the one who owns us, along with all of creation. This is His word to us as we submit to Him. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to declare and worship you this morning just for the fact that we can call you Father. You are the perfect one. Oh Lord, and just to think of the thought of how you made us who are sinners, rebels at heart, that you would actually make us your children through making us brothers of Christ by putting the perfect one, the one in whom you were pleased, to death, pouring out your wrath meant for us. We deserved it. But you poured it out on your Son in order to make us holy so that we could be made like you, that we could come into your presence and dwell with you forever, our Father. I thank you and praise you for this truth. And, oh Lord, I pray as we come to gather this morning to give you worship that, Lord, this is what takes place. Lord, that we have come here from our respective homes for the purpose of praising you and giving you glory as you are worthy of. We give you our worship by giving you ourselves. Lord, I pray we give you ourselves by giving our ears to you as you speak in your word. Lord, you must always stir us up to be able to do these things. It is only by the power of your Spirit. But oh, how great is the power of the Spirit of Christ that indwells us. As we sang, if your grace has come, we've been set free. Oh Lord, I pray, how much do we actually live free? How much do we actually walk in the glory of the truths of who we are because of what you've done? Oh, and how much do we resubmit ourselves to slavery, wanting to go back to Egypt? Oh Lord, I pray that you and your word, you would cause it to bear fruit in the hearts and minds of your people. Good fruit that is lasting, that will actually cause us to think of these things as we live out our days, that we live before you, our Lord, the one who is in authority over us. No one else is. You are. We want that authority for ourselves, but it is a line, a rebellion when we do. So I pray that, Lord, you would cause us to have ears to hear and actually hearts that desire to know the word of our Lord, the perfect one, that you would bear fruit. And so, Lord, if there is, for whatever reason, resistance in hearts and minds this morning, for whatever reason, just distraction from the things of the world, just having coming in from a weekend full of crazy activity, or, Lord, for perhaps other reasons, there's things in the heart, depths of the heart, they're just unsettled, and so they keep us from you. It causes us to come in with a heart not ready to give, but a heart that resists. There are many reasons. But Lord, our hearts are no match for you. I pray you come with the power of your Spirit. You accomplish your purposes of making us your people. And Lord, that goes for all the lost here who come in resistant to your word all the time. They may believe that there is a God, but they live in practical atheism because they don't live according to your word. So I pray your Spirit would come in power, and as they would actually hear your voice this morning. Not just the voice of some preacher or messenger, but your voice. That you would actually call them to yourselves. Oh Lord, glorify your name this morning through saving sinners. This is the hope of all of us, that we have been saved by grace through faith in this Christ Jesus. May you give the gift of faith that comes only from you this morning. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for the third straight week, we come to this, our passage, verses 1 to 3 in chapter 1, which is the opening, the beginning of the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. And as I have been saying, and I hope you're well aware of now, this is no ordinary beginning, no ordinary salutation or greeting. It's actually packed full of purpose by the Apostle Paul. He gives every word of his a purpose in order to instruct, to teach, right, to benefit those whom he is addressing. And given the state of the church at Corinth, you see the great need for such truth and teaching and the benefits from God's word at this point in time. So you see the Apostle Paul give it through this greeting, through this salutation. Again, a purpose that I hope you've seen clearly by now, as we've definitely been taking our time going through this. Not my intention. I would never have developed a plan where I would go through a greeting of a letter in 3 weeks. But this is where the Lord has us. And as you are surely well aware of by now, we've looked and attempted to break down the truths, the lessons, the purposes, the benefits that would be in this greeting for us by just breaking it down to its three parts. The authority of Paul. Right? Paul established his authority early on, right from the outset, as to why he was able to say these things that he did in order to correct the church at Corinth. And we've also had the second part, the identity of the church. And then the last part will be the blessing of God. Now, as we looked at the identity of the church, where we spent most of our time, actually, part of our time on the first week and all of our time last week and some of our time this week, a lot of it, we've seen the importance of this because what did he do in this second part? Well, He addresses who the letter's to, but he doesn't just give the simple name, you know, the Church of God at Corinth. He tells us and them the aspects of their identity as a member of the Church of Christ. This is who you are. And so we've seen these aspects so far. We're going to cover four. We've seen three already, that as a member of the Church of Christ, you are God's possession. As a member of the Church of Christ, you are a holy people. Past tense. As a member of the Church of Christ, as we saw last, this means you are intimately linked to all other believers. And now, that's where we've been, and that brings us to our place this morning, doesn't it? Our task at hand for this morning is to pick this up and to finish it, right? We're going to do that by looking at the fourth and last aspect that we'll see here as being a member of the Church of Christ. Again, important that we understand these aspects because it's important to know who we are in Christ, because it's only when we really know who we are that we can really begin to live out our life according to who we are. We must understand these things and trust them. And then at the end, we'll come to this last part, the blessing of God. We'll cover that today. We will, Lord willing, we will finish this passage. So let's begin by looking at the fourth and last aspect of being a member of the Church of Christ. And that's simply this, is as a member of the Church of Christ, you are a called people. You are a called people. I want to turn your attention back to the verse we covered last week, verse 2. All right? And the phrase that we covered really last week, which he says, you know, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to who? To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints, by calling. Now, last week we covered The majority of this phrase, we talked about the whole idea of being sanctified, past tense, being saints, being holy ones. We talked about what all that is and what it involves. Today, we're going to focus on that last word, calling. This is an important word because, as you can see here, Paul is making a statement. He's saying, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and you are a saint. You are a holy one. Why? Because you've been called to it. That's his point. You are these things because you have been called to this position of being holy in Christ Jesus. And by the very virtue of the fact that he says they had been called, these people have answered the call. They have been called and they have answered the call. And that's why they are who they are. Now, as we think about this, saints by calling, what does that mean? What does it mean to be called? Well, in the most basic sense, I'm just going to give you a general idea of what a call is. We'll get to the specifics in a moment. To be called is to be summoned. A strong invitation and really a command for the person being called to leave the position they're in and to come to the position that they're being summoned to. Right? There is a demand for you to leave where you are and come to this position that I'm calling you to. That's what a calling is. A basic example of this would be when we call our children to the dinner table. Right? What are we calling them to do? We're sending out a call, a strong invitation that you leave where you're at and you come to where I'm asking you to come to. That's here at the dinner table. Even though we call that an invitation, the option to reply, it's not really an option at all, is it? It's like, no, this is your place, you come. This is the basic definition of a calling. We call it an invitation, but it's a strong implication, right? A strong invitation with the implication that you need, this is a command. Now, that's generally, so as we think about that in the light of what generally a call is, well, what's the call here Paul's referring to specifically? Well, he's talking about the call that the Corinthian believers had received from God Himself, right, to leave the position they were in previously, a command, a summons, and to then come to this new position of what? Well, holiness. So he's talking about the call of the God through the gospel that God sends out for a person to leave where they are, to leave their place of sin, to leave their place of unholiness, to leave their place of living and serving themselves, and to instead come to where God is calling them to, and that's to a place of holiness through faith in Christ Jesus, and to now live for Him and not ourselves. This is the call that Paul is speaking of here, the call that goes out through the gospel, right? To leave and to come here. And again, these Corinthians have answered the call because he said, this is who you are by calling. Now, as we think about this is the call that Paul has in mind for the Corinthian believers, and they are who they are because they've been called by God to this position, we must understand this is also true for any believer in the church. I don't want you to disconnect this, right? It's not just the Corinthian believers, it's all believers. So in other words, if you're a member of the Church of Christ, you're saved, right? You are who you are because you have been called to it. There is no believer, there is no member of the Church of Christ that has not received and answered the call of God in this way. Again, to leave where you were. Repent and believe and come to where God is calling you to. This is true of all members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a member, you're a member because God has called you. You are a saint by calling. Now, just so you understand, this is not just some unique place in the Scriptures that a calling is given. This is everywhere in the Scriptures. Everywhere. Old Testament, New Testament. It's everywhere. But I'm just going to give you a few verses to give you the idea that this is not just some unique idea right here. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28. Listen. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:30. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Romans 9:23 through 24. And He did so in order that He might make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. So a very clear picture is that God calls Jews and Gentiles. You're called, you're saints by calling. Galatians 1:15 and 16. But when He who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. You see that He who set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through grace. Paul associates his calling unto salvation and to apostleship, one and the same. God called him. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you might gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. One more, just so you know, it's not just Paul, because all those were from Paul's letters. 1 Peter 2:9. See if this doesn't sound familiar. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So you see, I could go on and on and on with examples from the Scriptures that tell us that God's people are God's people because He calls them to be. You are saints by calling. No calling, you're not a saint. You understand this? Now, as we continue to think through this and expound on this, I think it's very important for us to know there are actually two types of calling. All right? We've got to differentiate them. There is first the outward calling. This is the calling unto salvation that goes out through the gospel through any of God's servants who proclaim it. You know, in the past, the prophets, the apostles, now pastors, preachers, evangelists, or any believer who's faithful to proclaim the gospel of Christ. When they give the gospel, proclaim the gospel, guess what? The gospel call goes out. The summons from God goes out for unbelievers, the lost, to leave where they're at, to repent of living in your sins and living for yourselves, and to come to where God's at, into this position of holiness made possible through faith in Christ Jesus. Every time the gospel is given, the call goes out in this outward way. Now, this outward call can be rejected. In fact, it is rejected a lot. Case in point, all of you sitting in here today that are unbelievers, you hear the gospel call come from this pulpit in here, in small group on Wednesday nights, in small group on... You hear the gospel call often. And by just virtue of the fact that you have never left where you are and never come to Christ in faith and answered, come to God as He calls you to, tells you you have rejected this call. You have rejected the call of the gospel. Now, that's true no matter what's going on in your mind and hearts when the gospel call goes out. No matter whether you're contemplating, well, I don't want to do that now. I want to wait till later, right? I'm not really rejecting your call. God, I want to do that later. No, you've rejected the call in that moment. You've said, no, I'm okay where I'm at. Or whether you're contemplating, I don't really know if I believe this enough. I need more information. You've rejected the call where you're at. Or whether you're just contemplating, boy, I wish God would zap me so that I could answer the call. No, you have rejected, God's called you and you've rejected the call. And this is true even if your mind and hearts are going, boy, I sure wish and hope I could get to hang out with my buddies today after church, and I wish this preacher would hurry up and get done with what he's saying. Right? Even if that's what's going on in your heart and minds, guess what? You have rejected the call of the gospel. You said, God, I hear that call, but I ignore that call and I reject that call. I'm happy being where I'm at. I'm happy being in my sin. And I'm happy being in my unholiness as objects of your wrath. And I will not leave it and come to you as you've summoned me to. This is just the facts. And guess what? You will be fully responsible and culpable before God for that rejection. You've heard the call. You've made the conscious, willful decision, I will not go. And you'll be, if you never turn, if you never answer that call, you will be fully culpable before God. So I would say, if that's you here today, I would urge you to go to God and plead with Him to give you the faith to answer that call. Because faith is what? A gift from God. So that's where you go to get it. You seek God. And He says, if you seek me, you'll find me. This is His promises. So you go and you seek God for faith. Give me the faith to not reject this call, but to have faith to come to you, to leave where I'm at. Understand, this is a gospel call. I leave where I'm at and I come to where you've called me to. So you go and you pray. That's the outward call. Now, at the same time that there's an outward call, there is a second call, which I will call the inward call at this point in time. What is that? Well, it's the same call. It's the call that goes out through the proclamation of the gospel to, again, to leave your place of sin and unholiness and to come to Christ and be made holy through Him and to now live for Him. Except the difference in this one is that God comes to you personally and He calls you by name and says, you come here. This call cannot be rejected. This is the call of the Holy Spirit when He comes and reveals Himself to His people whom He has predestined. Those whom He's predestined, He has called. Those whom He's called, He's justified. This is the inward calling, and it's often called the effective or efficacious call because it will be effective. A man, a woman cannot reject this call. He will go. And it's not as if they go kicking and screaming, I don't want to go, God, but you're pulling me. It's like some tractor beam in a science fiction movie. It's not that at all. It's that the call becomes irresistible. Why? Because God reveals Himself. He reveals the beauty of Christ by pouring out His mercy and grace on you, and He reveals your great need for Christ. And so when that you see that and hear that, you go, I've got to go. There is no other place to go. You're like disciples. Where else do we go, Lord? This is what happens. It becomes irresistible, and we have an irresistible attraction to our God, and we must go. This is what happens in the inward, efficacious call that God gives out to His people. So you see, there's two types. There's the outward that we all know. It goes out in the anytime the gospel's preached, but at the same time when the gospel's preached, when God moves, He sends that inward call, and He says, you're mine. That calling, sure. And all His people, members of His church, have received that call and they've answered that call. Now you may be wondering, is that really true? Because I could really only see one call. That's the call that goes out and people choose whether they want to accept it or not, right? This is the common view out there. Well, I could go to many places in Scripture, but I want to take you to just one parable Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus gives us a parable of the marriage feast and the invitation that goes out to the marriage feast, right, for the people to come. Make no mistake, understand this parable and the call, the invitation to the marriage feast is representative of the call and the invitation to come into the kingdom, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? The king's feast. Because then, what goes on in this parable? Well, Jesus tells about a king who has prepared the marriage feast, right, for his son. And he says, now it's time. He tells his servants, go out and call the invited guests. It's time. It's prepared. Well, the invited guests that they go to, guess what they do? They turn it down. They reject it. I've got to do this. I've got to do whatever. They have many reasons for rejecting it, but they reject it. And they come back and tell the king. This is representative of the Jews. They were the first to get the invitation, and they rejected it. And he was telling them that. So then what did the king do? He said, well, you go back out and you call other people to come because this marriage hall is going to be full. And he goes and he calls, and they call many people. And many accept the invitation. They answer the call and they come, but still many more reject as well. And they say, well, you know, is it full? It's not full yet, but we've got people that are coming. He said, now go back out. It will be full. You go to the highways and the hedges and anybody and everybody, you bring them in. And so they go do that until eventually what? The wedding hall is full, just as the king desired. Now, this obviously is a parable. If it's about this invitation to come into the kingdom, it obviously tells us that there is a call, an invitation that goes out to many, right? The highways and the hedges for people to come. But only some will answer that call. When you say, well, how does this really tie into what you're... The last verse Jesus speaks in this parable is the telling verse. Matthew 22:14. He follows all this up with this very short phrase. Many are called, but few are chosen. What did he mean by that? Well, obviously, many are called refers to all the many that the invitation went out to. All the ones that it went out to, even those many, many more, comparatively speaking, who rejected it. That's the all, or many. But then, only a few are chosen. Who is that reflective of? Well, it's obviously the ones who actually believed and answered on the call. Those Jesus equates with His chosen. And He shows here that there's two calls. There's the call that goes out to many. Many are called, but only few receive the effective call. Those whom God has chosen to receive this call. Now, I know I've covered a lot, right? But here's what I want you to know. The truth that you must keep and take away with you is that if you're a member of the Church of Christ, a true member, saved, you have been called to it. And you've answered that call. And this calling is sure. Because God gives this call to His people that He has chosen to receive this call, and they will respond as He calls them to. So what? Here's a couple of take-homes, applications. I want to think through this as we go. First, I just ask the question, if you're a professing believer, you profess to be a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you received and answered this call? Because if you really are a member of the Church of Christ, you are a saint by calling. So there is no such thing as a member of the Church of Christ who has not received and answered this call. And when you receive this call, you know it. It's not just the outward call. I say this because many people are deceived in thinking they want to be a part of eternal life. Nobody wants to go to hell. So they will attempt to answer this call in a way, but not in a way in which God has called them to. And that is, have you left where you were? Have you truly taken up your cross? Have you truly denied yourself and left that life altogether? That's the summons. And gone to where God has called you to through faith in Christ Jesus, the only way to be made holy. Is this real in your life? I'll go back to that parable, the marriage feast. There's another part to it. Jesus reveals that when the hall was full and the king came into the wedding hall and he was looking at the guest, he spotted a guest. And he approached the man and he said, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man had no answer. And so the king demanded and commanded that he be taken and bound hand and foot and cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's that tell us? That tells us that there are people who attempt to answer this call in a way that God has not commanded. There's only one. This call means leave yourself. Repent. Leave the life of sin and unholiness. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and come to where I'm at in holiness that's made only possible through faith in Christ Jesus, and now you live for Him. There's going to be many people, I fear, on the day, brothers and sisters, who's going to be called out. So how did you get in here? You're not wearing the wedding garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins and answered the call and come to Him and died and followed Him. Who are you? I say this, don't be deceived. If you're really a believer in Christ Jesus, if you're really saved, you're a member of His church, you've heard your Savior's voice going back. Where else do we go to this? Jesus is the good shepherd. What has He said? My sheep, what? Oh, they hear my voice and they know my voice. When you hear the calling of your Lord, you know it. You know you've heard it. And there's no denying it. And you come to Him where He's called you to. And He's the one that makes you holy. If you're truly a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, this is going to be true of you. You're going to have heard the voice of your Savior, and you're going to answer that call, and you're going to keep on hearing and knowing the voice of your Savior. And you're going to keep on answering that call. That brings me to the second, which is just a follow-up. If you are a believer and you're a member, professing member of the Church of Christ, and you know, oh yes, I've heard this call. Oh yes, I know my Savior. I've heard it. I've answered it. I would just ask you, how's your life matching up to that call now? Because that call is not just a once and done. Again, a false understanding of the gospel. Just repent of your sins this one time and come to me and say you believe. And then the call of the gospel is to leave yourself, take up your cross and deny yourself. And it's the constant call of the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the constant call to turn away from yourself and come to Him. And so if you have received that call, you will continue to hear the voice of your Savior and answer that call. Why? Well, because sadly, our temptation is always to do what? To go back. The temptation is always to go back to where we were before. To live in our sin. To live for ourselves. To believe that we are always tempted to go back. But if you've received the calling of God, guess what? You can't stay there. Why? Because God's going to keep calling you out of that over and over again, because His calling and His election are sure. And God is, you are a saint because God's called you to be a saint. And so that calling will hold you to Him. We sang, "He will hold me fast." Boy, that's the truth as I live out my life. I'm tempted to go back, but God keeps saying, "No, you're mine. You come here." And so there's a constant living in, I got to leave my place and I've got to come to where God's called me to. You've heard, it's the same thing as my calling to the pastorate, and you've heard that. It's just like the Apostle Paul, it's one and the same. I can't really separate the two. God's called me to Himself, and part of that, He's called me to be an elder and a pastor. So they're linked. And so every time I get weary, and every time I get tempted to lay it down because I'm tired, oh, and this is difficult, right, because I'm living in myself, and I'm, you know, all those things that come into mind, I can't lay it down. Why? Every time God says, "No, this is who you are because I've called you to it." And so you must pick, and you pick it up, and you go because the calling brings us to it. Brothers and sisters, if you've really been called, guess what? It's the call that anchors you to Christ. This is what keeps us in Him. We are called to grasp Him, to come after Him with all that we've got. But listen, if that's all there was, we'd lose our hold in a second. The only reason we have a hold of Christ is that Christ has called us to Himself. And that calling is what anchors us to Him. And so that's what I want you to understand here this morning. If you're a saint, you're a saint by calling. And that calling and election is sure. Praise God for that. He keeps you. So you are who you are because God's done it. And He'll keep doing it all the way to the end. And you will persevere. Once saved, always saved. Why? Because God will give you the faith to persevere you all the way through because that's what He's called you to. He keeps saying, come. And we come because we know the voice of our Lord and our God. You are saint by calling. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you are called people. This is true and will always be true. Now that link brings me to the last part. We will cover it. It won't be long. The last part, which is the blessing of God that we see in verse 3. In it you see a proclamation given by Paul that you often see in all of his letters, right? The proclamation of the blessing that God gives of grace and peace to His people. Why does Paul always put this in his letters? He always wanted the believers, not only in Corinth, but in every place, to know the glorious truth that His people have received grace and peace from God. As members of His church, who are all these things? They're holy people. They're God's possession. They're linked to all other believers. They are called. If this is you, you have grace and peace. So the question should never be for the believer, do I have grace and peace? It should never be, can I get grace and peace? You, brothers and sisters, if you're really His, you have, as your possession, grace and peace in abundant measure, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That means He's given, not only given you that blessing, but in full measure. It's yours. It's your possession. It cannot be taken away from you. So the question is never, can I get it? But the question should be, how can I walk in it? How do I realize this grace and peace? Because we all know that we all don't walk in realization of it all the time, do we? We're often absent of grace and especially peace. And understand, peace comes from God's grace. So the less we see and recognize God's grace, the less peace we will have in our lives. The two are linked. That's why they're always together. So how do we walk in these things? How do we actually realize them? Well, we walk in them and realize them by walking closely with our God. Why? Well, notice the source. Grace and peace from where? From God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're from God, right? That makes sense because grace and peace, only the source is God. So if you're going to experience them, you're going to have to walk closely in His presence. That's where they dwell. That's why in John 14 through 17, we went through that not long ago, right? Jesus is explaining to them about the need to what? Abide in Him. Abide in Me and you will bear much fruit. If you don't abide in Me, no fruit. Abide in Me. And then at the end of that, just a little bit over, He said, these things I have spoken to you that My peace may be in you. Do you see the link? He also says, I speak these things that My joy may be in. All of the fruits, the blessings of the Spirit fall to us as we dwell with our God. Sadly, even though we may know this, we often seek these blessings in things other than God, especially peace. We often are deceived and think peace is in this, and we go after it. These things are false gods. These things are idols. And what happens when we go after these false gods and we go after these idols, what we discover is this thing that we're going after is not there. Matter of fact, the opposite comes. If God's grace is with you, you begin to be unsettled and there's a total lack of peace. And we begin to question, what happened? Where did peace go? It's gone. Where did it go? But the question should never be, where did peace go? Because again, the Scriptures tell us where peace is. Where is it? It's with God. It's in His presence. And God didn't go anywhere. So the question should never be, where did the peace go? The question is, where did I go? Where did I leave off from following closely with my God? What did I go chase? What did I get deceived in? That this is where peace is. This is the question we should ask. And when this comes, it's unsettling. I know this is where we should always go. We should always go, where did I go? Lord, get me back. And the Lord will get you back, right? Why? Because you're calling. Your calling election is sure. He's the one that anchors you to Him, because that He'll bring you back. So, brothers and sisters, let us know the blessing of God is ours, period. Our calling is just to trust that they are and to follow God and walk closely with our God so that that blessing of grace and peace that dwells in Him, we will walk in and we will realize and we will enjoy. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May we believe that and trust that. And walk in that truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it really is unfathomable that we who are sinners would actually receive your grace and your peace and all the other fruits of spiritual blessing. But you declared that they are ours. Why? Because we're your people. Why? Because you made us your people. You called us to yourself, and then you put us in Christ and made us holy so that we could dwell with you forever and be your possession forever so that you could care for us. What glorious truths. And Lord, we're to live these things out with all who call upon the name of Jesus Christ in every place. Beautiful truths of who we are, Lord. Again, pray. You know, it will be no words of mine that bear any fruit. I am weak, and I can accomplish nothing. But, O Lord, you have all power and all might that dwell in you. And your word is powerful. So I pray that you would cause your word, and it will have its effect that you send it out for, but oh, I pray you have mercy on us and cause its effect to bear much fruit in us. That this would cause us to actually not only know and have head knowledge of who we are, you know, really great truths that are lofty, and there's a kind of a prideful joy in just coming to understand these things. But Lord, the understanding who we are calls for us to actually live as if they're true. So I pray you help us to live as if they're true, because they are. This is who we are. Remind us of our calling. Remind us of the blessings that are ours. These things that call on us to walk in faith and to seek you for them. So Lord, I even link all this up to this study we're going to do. The study of knowing the living God. Oh, this is where, Lord, we will be able to walk these things out, is the more we seek you and actually know you and walk these things out. So I pray you cause us all to be linked up and bear fruit for your name in this way. Bring us in, Lord. Give us hearts to seek. Give us a thirst and a hunger for you. Don't let us be satisfied with the things of this world. Oh, Lord, they're junk food at the best. Vanity. Help us to be desiring and filled only with you. The truth of who you are, and then the truth of who we are in light of who you are. The two are linked. And I pray that the result of all this was that you would be glorified. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.